Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's showtime, folks. Hope you're having a great day. Great start to your Tuesday. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Gentlemen, how are we?
Good morning to you, Chase McCabe. Now, before anything else, you got to tell the story off the go, man.
Got to tell the story.
This is great. Listen to this, folks.
All right, listen. I think anybody out there, you know, we've all had, and look, maybe this is God's way of telling me I shouldn't have stopped at McDonald's this morning.
Yes.
Like, I think that's what this is. But look, you know, there's times where you kind of like, man, you're either craving it or you're in a hurry, and it's like you go through the drive-thru. So I just wanted a sausage biscuit. That's all.
No more, no less.
Yeah, just a sausage biscuit. I did get some hash browns because, you know, I'm driving. That's good for the drive. So anyway, I stop at the McDonald's on Charlotte Pike. I'm just going to throw this out there into the universe. And order a sausage biscuit, hash brown. Nothing hard, right?
She said.
Okay. So I get I get here. And I literally texted you guys right after this happened. I ate the hash brown. Everything was fine. I noticed that it wasn't in the wrapper like it usually is. But I'm like, okay, I guess they got new containers or whatever.
Right.
I opened it up. It was just the patty. There was no biscuit. And my, like, I was so dumbfounded that I couldn't even, like, be mad. But then, like, in my head I'm going – like, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who thought you could get away with this?
And you're already gone.
So I'm gone, yeah. I mean, there's nothing I could do. I just have a radio show that I'm calling out on. But I'm just like,
oh, yes.
I don't – like, what in the world? Like, I wanted – so it kind of reminded me when I was in – when I was a freshman in high school, we had to write a research paper that was like 10 pages or something like that. And so we had like a month to work on this thing. You know, we do it, turn it all in and everything, and we're sitting there, and the teacher starts, like, grading them and all that. And I just hear him, our teacher, just in the middle of silence go, "Andy, do you think I'm a dumbass?" Like, just say it like that. And we're all like, "What?" And this kid had literally written one page and then copy and pasted it the rest of the
way.
That's what I thought of. Like, that's what this felt like. Like, of like, wait, were the biscuits out? You just are like, here, I'm just going to give them the patty?
It makes me laugh because you have no recourse. You can't go back. You're late to work.
No, I just don't understand it.
Let's go back to Andy for a second. Did he think he would get by with this? Because if he did, that'd be so ingenious.
Yeah, no, he did. He was something.
What class was this?
English. It was English.
Oh, man. There's a reel on Instagram. They're doing an exam, and this student found the teacher's Tinder profile, and he's married.
Oh, no.
And she submitted one page, and the second page was his Tinder profile. It was like what you're talking about. Second page was his Tinder profile. She had a D in the class. He emailed her and said, "Great work. Here's your A." Kid you not. I kid you not. That happened.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yep. And I think his
blackmail at his
finest. His wife had just had a baby. So he's actually Tinder profiles holding the baby. And that's what he was doing. I tell you, man, kids today are resilient. Don't mess with them. Don't let it happen. So that's it.
Just had a baby, huh?
Yeah. There you go. Good time.
Interesting.
We got a special guest at 9:30 today.
Do we?
Yeah. Well, he's not. I mean, he's everybody's.
He's not
guest.
Here.
He's no, not but, here.
Yes. Brian Callahan, Titans head coach, will address the media. So we will carry that at 9:30. So looking forward to hearing what he has to say. And then I think some players are speaking later, too.
Which leads, I had a great question today, but we're going to flip it. And this is on the run here.
Okay. We are networks, affiliates.
Down the line.
We are pivoting. We are pivoting. Please update your supers.
So if you had one question today, we've done this before, to ask Brian Callahan, what'd you ask him? What will you ask him?
That's a good one.
What would you ask Brian Callahan today if they said, "Chase, you're up first"? What's your one question for Brian Callahan?
How are you planning to split the reps between Cam Ward and Will Levis?
The perfect question. And mine will be, is Cam Ward running with the ones right now?
Yeah.
And if not, why?
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, he's going to be asked that. I mean, he's definitely going to be peppered with that question.
Or you could ask the Greg Pogue question. You know what question that is, don't you?
There could be a few.
Have you made your way around town yet?
Yeah.
To get around town. That's a good always.
One. Or walk up to the podium and just slap 100 Cats tickets on the podium. Just smile and don't say anything.
It's like, what are you doing Saturday night?
Pogue, if you're listening, will you do that? Can you go over there today and just in the middle of the press conference, just walk up there and hand him some Cats tickets?
Waddles up there and puts it down. And he's like, what is this? Like, I'll see you Saturday night.
Bring your family.
Yeah, it'd be a fun night. Callahan should go to a Cats game.
That would be awesome. That would be totally awesome. Yeah. He could come on our broadcast.
Yep. At halftime.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking live at Municipal Auditorium. Trace McCabe here. Well, got you going tonight. You need to bust out that voice Saturday night when you're calling the Cats game.
I can do that. Or I can do my old time that... Well, live here at the Municipal Auditorium, the Nashville Cats taking on the Oregon Lightning.
If you do that, then I'll do the same voice as the color commentator.
Oh, the cow, look at that. We got Bedlam here at Municipal Auditorium tonight.
Just do that. It's the call of the Hindenburg. You ever heard the Hindenburg crash?
Yeah. Oh, the humanity.
Oh, it's awful. But that guy just kept that voice the whole way through, man. It's like, what in the world is going on there?
That is something. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line.
I gotta interrupt. I'm sorry. Are we? Do I have work with some chain smokers? What's going on in here? Are y'all okay?
Chain smokers. No. That's pretty funny. Yeah, you're right. I know. I mean, yeah, Chasers. See, Chaser
not
needed the
chain smokers, not Jane smokers. I don't
Chaser know. Needed the biscuit to kind of, you know, suppress
I
all
just
that
wanted
stuff.
My damn biscuit.
And I'm just sick always.
I didn't get the biscuit. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So our question of the day is, what would be your first question to Brian Callahan?
What do you want to hear from Callahan? I mean, we talk about the Cam Ward situation, but also, other things. Are you going to delegate more duties? Or are you going to – I mean, how are you approaching year two different than year one? Because we had Jim Wyatt on here, and Jim Wyatt was like, yeah, there's a bit of him being overwhelmed with things. Now you got to delegate more and pay, you know, more attention to this, less attention to that.
So that stood out to me when Jimmy said that, because I do think now that now that I've had time to kind of digest the season and, you know, think about everything – you know, we talked about there were times where he was in over his head. I think he was overwhelmed. I mean, that was the there are some guys that when they finally become a head coach, you know, there's no doubt that they were ready to be a head coach. And I'm not saying that he wasn't, but I'm just saying that I think he wasn't expecting some of the things that he had to deal with as a head coach. And I feel like he's going to be more prepared to do that now. I hope so. And I hope they give him a fair chance. Like, that's what I really want. Because I like the guy, and I want him to succeed. I really like the moves they've made this offseason. I mean, honestly, I like everybody that's involved in that organization now. I mean, I'm still figuring Brinker out because I don't love that dynamic and how, you know, to me, I've always been taught the general manager is, you know, the general manager, and there's not a – you know, president of football operations, then a general manager and all that stuff. And plus, I don't trust the owner to stay out of the way. But
right. And that's the thing.
I want it all to work because I like these people.
Well, are you going to – the thing is, how honest and transparent can Brian Callahan be if you say, all right, do you talk to Amy once a week, once a month? And what do you talk about? And I know he won't get into it. I'd like to know just the fact that, yeah, we speak once a week. You know, it's for an hour. Just to know, you know, and like maybe delve into it a tad bit about what you talk about, because I think that's kind of fascinating in a way. I don't think he'll tell us that, but I'd like to know, what do you talk? I mean, if I'm the owner,
this is going to shock you.
Better.
I don't care what they talk about anymore. I used to, But now I'm kind of like, number one, the owner doesn't need to talk to the head coach every week.
I think in the offseason, yes.
I don't.
That's my team talking to you.
Okay, that's fine. But that's what you have people in place. That's what she put Brinker in place for.
I want to hear from you. I want me and you.
That's fine, but it doesn't need to be every week.
If I had to go through Nick to talk to you, I'm not doing it.
That's fine. But I think there's too many times nowadays where, you know, people don't know what their lane is. They think that they get a title and it just means, oh, I can just do whatever I want to do. And I can go and – even though you're in charge of, you know, being the head coach, right. I can go tell you what to do. And it's like, you can, technically, you're the owner, you're allowed to do that, but that's not effective.
I would be more of, you're Cal, and then I'm Amy, hey, Brian, you okay? Do you need anything? How are things going?
You really let yourself go, Amy.
Yeah, right? Jeez, what happened to you? I would be, but it's more of like, how can I help you? Not more of, what are you doing?
If that's the, okay. All right, fair point. If that is the conversation, if it's, hey, what can I give you? What do you need? All that, then okay, I'm fine with it. Right. Now, I still don't think it needs to be every week, but, like, you know, if that's the conversation you're having,
yeah,
fine. But if she's like, all right, so how many reps are you giving Cam? Then I got a problem because it's like, no offense, you don't know about that.
You're right. No, like, you're exactly
go
right.
Be the, I don't know Jack about that. Like, go be the owner.
Yep. I'm with you, man. That's fine.
As long as it's a constructive conversation that's not meddling and not, hey, you should do this or I'm going to tell you what to do because I'm your boss, then I'm fine with it.
Okay. All right. I'm with you on that there. But that's I just want to know if there's other funny questions, others that you could say, hey, what's happening here about this player, that player? But that's what I would like to know. But the Cam Ward thing is number one. That's the one that you want to figure out and see what's going ahead.
615-737-1025. What is the first question you would ask? Head coach Brian Callahan, he is scheduled to speak at the bottom of the hour. We will bring that to you live as we are live today here at our studios, which, of course, is the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. More coming next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You hear this song, what do you think of immediately?
James Brown, Rocky Foe.
Yes. Apollo coming out to the ring. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. On this Tuesday, our question of the day, Brian Callahan's going to speak in a little over 10 minutes. What's the first thing you would ask him in that press conference?
You only get one, man. Like Highlander, there's only one. Right, Dr. Crane?
Right.
Do you know what the Highlander is?
There can only be one Highlander.
I'm really zoned out right now. No, Joe.
What's wrong,
buddy? What's wrong, buddy?
I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my car.
Do you want to tell this story?
We can save it for another rainy day.
It's about the rain. About 30 minutes. So, go ahead, man.
It was sort of pouring down right now. Well,
my car stalled out yesterday. I was on the interstate going to get my mom's birthday gift, and I heard this loud thud, like a boom, and it was like underneath the car. And I was like, oh, this could not be good. I don't know what this is. And as I'm getting off the interstate, all of a sudden I hear another thud, but more of a softer tone, that is. And I'm over there getting off the interstate into a turn lane, and the car ends up stalling on me. I'm like, what is going on? It goes into neutral, and yeah, I just had to turn the car off, try to turn it back on.
That's
and
never good.
It sounded like I was looking it up online. It's called the intake manifold, which is a part of the front part of the engine. So it's where the cylinders connect. It's like a little slim piece of metal. So hopefully it's not – I mean, it's a 27-year-old car. It's as old as me. So it's probably corroded. You just got to buy a new one. But it's very hard to get to, which is a very, very pricey bill.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out how to
– Look, I've been broken down – And so many times, it'll be okay.
It's telling you right now. It's not
I've broken
down,
down
part.
Many times, and Joe's been there to comfort me. So.
It'll be okay. It's okay.
It's not the broken down part. I've broken down in several different cars. It's just this one hurts because I literally don't have a car. I had my father drop me off this morning, and so yeah, it's tough. I really don't know where the money's going to come from, honestly.
Never mind. Okay. Well, we'll help you, man.
I honestly might pick up a second job. I really might.
Like?
Yeah. Like after here, I'm going to get another job.
We'll
do that.
We'll help you figure it out.
I was going to say Uber, but that would be rude.
On a bike.
I love you, man. You know, we're all brothers here. We're all brothers here, right?
In the chariot.
I would hope you'd make fun of me.
Oh, no.
Please.
I don't think you're making fun of me. Let's go along with the flow. So I think I might go buy a horse and then a chariot. And
will you please get a horse?
I mean, they're expensive. They're as much as the fix on this car. So it might be honestly the right thing to do. I might go join the Amish.
All right. Well,
it'd be
okay.
I mean, they make good food too.
Yeah.
So horses. Is your car now done? I mean, is it like to the heap?
I don't know. I had it towed to the auto shop. They're great people. They listen to the show, by the way. They love 102.5 The Game, so which is a good thing. So maybe
okay.
Maybe that has some pull.
What if they go in there and check it out? Like, oh, it's no big deal. Fix it. Boom, boom. You're done.
Then that's great. As long as it's under about $5,000, I'm cool with that.
What if it is under $5,000? What if it's way under that?
Then
what do I tell you all the time?
Then we're happy.
Don't suffer imagined troubles.
Well, it's better to suffer that now.
No, it's not.
Because
what's it doing to you?
Well, it's
stop it.
It's making me a nervous Nancy.
Stop. We don't suffer imagined troubles. We don't.
Fair.
This could be
but
better.
I get it though. I mean, I've
thank you.
I get it.
We're changing this. We're going to help you out here.
He's right. Keep a positive mindset, but also, I understand. I understand the
it's a part of adulting.
Sure, sure.
But why do you want to do that? Don't adult. Forget that.
You're right, Joe. Just be a five-year-old every day. I
don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with.
Oh, Chase, how long did you work at Toys R Us for?
Two summers. Yeah, it was great.
Did you play video games on your break?
No, but it was fun. I became the video game and wrestling expert. So
you and hey, Michael Lester, hey, Chase.
Yeah, that's where I met him.
Okay, good.
615-737-1025. What would you ask Brian Callahan? Ben said I would ask him what is the harm in letting Cam sit for a year.
Oh, that's a good question. That is a great one.
Keith says one thing no one talks about is that he was calling plays and head coaching as a rookie head coach. Maybe that's why he was overwhelmed. I mean, sure, we've talked about that.
But if you know going into that, don't if you're gonna be overwhelmed because of that, then don't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, he kind of admitted that.
Yes, like he did.
He admitted that was a little bit more than he thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Justin says, Amy, hey Brian, how are things? Have you gotten settled in Nashville? Okay, I wouldn't get too settled though, if you know what I mean. Let's just say the bye week is the deadline. Great talking to you. Have a great season.
Oh yes.
Austin would ask, what are you doing here, Brian?
Oh man,
that was good. Ron weighs in and says, hey Chase, maybe you just got the wrong order. I got my two hash browns and my drink, and I don't think it was that.
But is there an order of just a biscuit without the middle?
They could have misunderstood. I don't know. Maybe I should look at the receipt, see what it says.
Oh, yeah. And I want to hear a little mea culpa after you look at the receipt.
Oh, there will be no mea culpa.
Because
here's the deal. Listen. I made the order. Listen.
Okay.
I don't accept mistakes.
I love it. I
don't accept
it.
That. Not, no.
Okay.
Ron also says, if the Titans would have been aggressive earlier in the offseason, we could have a good veteran quarterback in Myles Garrett because he really wanted out of Cleveland. We probably would have been a 10-7 team. I don't think they ever wanted to get a veteran quarterback. This was the plan all along.
Yeah,
they had the first overall.
Or they would have made a really fast attempt, aggressive attempt after Aaron Rodgers. If they wanted that.
Wes in Clarksville says, do y'all think that Purdy got overpaid?
No.
They all get overpaid, but
no.
No, I thought that was a fair deal.
I mean, it's what, 4 years now? Or has he been 21? Was it 21 he came in the league?
Yeah, I mean, he just re-signed.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. You're right. They're all going to get overpaid, and let it happen. So good for him.
It's the price of doing business.
It is. Business.
Business. Memphis.
Don't do it.
Don't. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coming up next, you will hear from the Titans head coach, Brian Callahan. He will address the media. We'll hear what he has to say. Tune in Sunday for the Indianapolis 500 on 102.5 The Game. Coverage begins at 10, and it's all brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree beer. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Tuesday. Brian Callahan will be addressing the media here in just a second. A couple of other questions that people are wanting to know. Kevin said, I would ask, hey, Brian, when you scream WTF are you doing on the field, were you upset about the play, or did you just realize Levis puts mayo in his coffee? Kevin in Florida.
Good job, Kevin, on that. You know, and I would say, you know, tone the language down a little bit, too. Don't need that much.
Well, person. He was quoting Brian Callahan. You know, there's a person that doesn't listen to this show because of that.
Really?
And I don't care that they don't listen to the show, but like it cracks me up.
Because of the language?
Because they made it a point to walk up to me one time and say, because you joked with them about language and stuff, that they thought you right. were serious, that they refused to listen to you.
Is it that weirdo Preds fan that wears a mask?
I don't know. Is that, it
we'll trade for any lane and won't eat. Okay. Well, oh well. Too bad.
Yeah. This cracks me up.
They
think they know more than they do, too.
There is a – you know what's funny about press conferences? I don't know if you remember this years ago, but there MTV Video Awards were happening, and there was a guy sitting in the second row, had, like, long hair and a beard and, like, dressed like Steppenwolf from the 1970s, and nobody could figure who it was, and it was Jim Carrey. Right? He would sit there, and the camera would be – and nobody – like, they're like, we don't know who this guy is. How did he get here? And he looked nothing like Jim Carrey. I would love to go to a Titans press conference and dress like nobody had a clue and ask the dumbest questions of all time.
Oh, that would be great.
It would be, I mean, of course, the old curmudgeons of Paul and Rex Rhodes and Glennon, if he's awake, Beauclair would all be upset like, oh, what's going on? This is not
No, Beauclair would probably laugh.
But I just think he'd be fun just to sit there and do that, man. Wouldn't be bad.
Faux show.
Faux show. Dr. Crane monitoring the feed now from Titan Central. Look, are you mad at me?
No.
Look, we're buddies.
Guys.
I'd do anything in the world for
I'm
you.
I'm not mad. I'm good.
We're going to get that car fixed.
Yeah. I also got some good news about Skillet this morning. I talked to my uncle because my dad and him, they're brothers. He said that
That's
Skillet
generally
is...
generally
Yeah.
That's how that works usually.
Skillet is the biggest of the litter.
Oh,
is he?
Yeah.
Big boy.
Yeah.
Big boy.
He's the loudest of them all, too. Squeals.
For those that don't know, our esteemed producer, Dr. Crane, has bought a pig.
Hog.
Hog, my bad. When does he turn from pig to hog or hog to pig?
It's a certain weight and also something about the testosterone. And it's a lot of, don't want to get into it.
When do you pick him up from daycare?
I think June 22nd is when I go to Markham again. And then after that, it's we're saying the will.
Okay. That ride's going to be awkward when you're taking him to get processed.
It's going
to
be
Hey,
cool.
buddy. Are you excited? Where are we going?
I don't have to take him. Somebody's grabbing him.
What is this place?
This is great.
Why does that guy got a shotgun?
I just point out, like, yeah, that's the guy right there. The one that has the tail that's spinning. Hey, that's mine.
Wait, what's this room we're ordered? Wait, what are we doing?
Back in a little bit.
Wait, where are you going? Wait, what is that?
And on tomorrow's menu, we have spicy sausage along with some pork ribs. It's going to be delicious.
Something smells real good. Wait, is that right. is that my brother?
I got a serious question, though.
Sure.
When you pick him up, do you make eye contact with him? Because that'd be kind of awkward.
No. Sure. I mean, I have desensitized myself from this hog.
You gave him a name.
Yeah. I mean, that's somewhat desensitized. Like,
Not really.
Well, I mean,
that's a sign of attachment.
Right, you mentioned Skillet. Chase and I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, you gave it a name.
I'm talking about physical, like, attachment. Like, I have zero physical attachment to him. Like, I'll feed him from afar. I mean, I'm not talking
to him.
Look,
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Like, this is cool that you're, that's fine. Like, I'm not picking on you. I could not do this because I would get too attached. Let's go to Brian Callahan.
Phase two, we'll start our OTA phase three work next week. So excited about that. We're kind of done with the phase two, ready for the next step and get a chance to actually do some real football, offense versus defense and all that stuff coming up next week. But for now, we got one more week of phase two and getting some good work in. It's been a productive offseason from that regard and excited to get to the next phase once we get through this week. So other than that, I'll let you guys have at it.
What are some of the things you're looking for in phase three, Coach?
Yeah, you get a chance to actually, you know, see guys work and compete. Everything so far in phase two is a very individual centered, as far as position groups, and it's unit centered. So you're doing a lot of things with unit, but you're not going up against anybody else. So you get a chance to actually guys compete a little bit. You know, no pads on or anything like that, but, you know, get a chance to see now the schemes, you know, guys picking up things in real time and real speed and execution against an actual defense and an offense and a special team. So that's the part that you're your next step. So it's very teaching focused here in phase two. A lot of things schematically you're trying to get better at, working a lot of technique and fundamentals. And then you get into phase three, you get a chance to see a little bit more application of those things you're working on. So excited about that. It's a good fit part of the offseason. You know, last ramp up before training camp, really, when you're actually going against each other.
Looking back on last year and everything that you did in the whirlwind time, how did you change maybe the structure of what this offseason looked at, and has it paid off in any way?
Yeah, we'll see if it pays off. I can't make any statements about anything paying off now. We'll see in September, October, and from then on. But I reflected really hard on what I wanted the offseason to look like. It is definitely structured much different, just in terms of what we're emphasizing and how we're emphasizing it, how we set up the our competition amongst our team, how we're going about the team building process. All of those things have changed a little bit for me, focusing a lot more on, you know, the things that win and lose you football games at the end of the day. Things that the penalties, the negative plays, the turnovers, those are the things that, you know, we're focused heavily on and trying to make sure we do a better job executing those things in the moment. There's a lot more to it I could talk about. I'd probably take up the whole press conference probably, but definitely changed a little bit of the philosophy and formula, and hopefully that pays off for us.
How can you influence those things in phase one, phase two, even phase three, when you don't have contact and helmets? How can you influence negative plays and penalties?
You emphasize it like crazy. We spent a lot of meeting time wise, you know, where we went wrong last year. You know, we did the self-scout portion of it, the technique of things, but it's just the emphasis of it, you know, making guys aware. At some point I can take you guys through, now probably isn't the perfect time for it, but just how we've set up the off-season program. I think guys have really bought into it. You can maybe ask them a few more questions, maybe they'll give you some more insight. But how we set it up, we divided our team into competitive teams. We have 8 teams now that compete daily, which you guys have seen some of the stuff on social media, just post-practice competitions. There's points on the line for everything we do. So there's an emphasis daily, and there's negative points. So to your point, Paul, about, you know, how do you teach it? Well, if you jump off sides in a group drill, you know, those are negative points for your team. And so it's emphasized every day. We look at it, we talk about it. It's on our players' forefront of their minds sort of every time we step in the building. So those are the things we have to get better at for sure on top of the scheme. But I'm excited about, you know, what we've done and how we've done it, and we'll see if it pays off.
Along those lines of adjustment and reflection, do you look back on the way, you know, everything happened with Levis, just, hey, he's the quarterback, he's the starter. Do you look back on that, and does that influence how you're handling Cam Ward this year?
Yeah, I think we're all parts of, you know, we're all, our experiences lead us to how we operate. And you live and you learn through some of them. You make adjustments, you grow, you do things differently. And certainly there's parts of that, you know, I learned lessons in, and I've learned to move forward, and you try to grow and do it better the next time. You know, I think that's everybody's goal, coaches, players. I think humans in general try to do that. So, yeah, there's definitely parts of that I think we could have done a better job, and our job is to do it better the next time. And so that's where we're at.
For Dan Moore last year weren't necessarily great in terms of pass blocking. What do you feel like, you know, what gave you guys the confidence that you guys went after him right away and you know, gave him a healthy contract? What's the confidence there that he is the guy, kind of the answer at left tackle?
Yeah, I think you watch all those things. You know, you watch the sacks they give up, you watch the pressures they give up, you watch penalties, and you try to determine what's fixable and maybe what isn't and what you're okay with. And there's things that I think he can be corrected in technique-wise that are going to help him a lot. There's some things that, you know, sometimes you just get beat by good players, which the AFC North has a few of them, and we'll see a few of them ourselves. And so there's that part of it, and how can you help in those situations schematically? But, yeah, you watch all of it, and you have to go through and you see what's fixable and what maybe isn't fixable, but you can help with the process of it. So there's no perfect player. They're all going to have things that they got to get better at. And we felt really comfortable with Dan, and he's been fantastic since he's been here in that regard. So excited to have him.
It's been 68 days since you signed him. Mm-hmm. We're just talking to him for the first time today. That seems kind of like purposeful avoidance for a guy that you're paying $20 million to. What's the rationale for that?
No, he was supposed to speak initially. He was leaving town the same day that he's supposed to come up. So that wasn't intentional by any stretch. There's no intent behind making him available or not making him available. We didn't parade any of our free agents out for press conferences this year. So I would say it's pretty standard operating procedure.
Has done maybe in the early stages of his professional career, and how's Will maybe adjusted to have a more competition in the room?
Say the first part one more time.
How you think Cam has handled maybe his first couple of weeks, maybe working with the veterans, and how's Will maybe handled more competition in the room?
They both handled it really well. I've been pleased with their demeanor and their approach. Will's done a really nice job of getting better at things he needed to get better at. I felt really pretty good about his offseason work and how he's come back. Bless you. Cam has done a really nice job of integrating himself. And a lot of that is just knowing the play call, being able to spit it out in the huddle, having the tempo, getting familiar with the receivers and what the words mean and how to call it and how your snap count sounds. All of that stuff has been really well done on his part. So they've both done a really nice job getting up to speed where they needed to. You know, both had different things that they're trying to get accomplished. But I'm happy with where that's at.
How do you split their work right now?
Right now, it's all evenly split. You know, we're not competing right now. It'll change probably a little bit when we get to the actual OTAs and we got 7-on-7 and some teamwork and stuff like that. But right now, there's, you know, really not going against anybody. So we just roll through it. They're probably roughly about even all the way through, which is pretty standard for this time of year.
Obviously, the offensive line is paramount for you guys after the last couple of years, your last year specifically. The schedule comes out, and I know you're a long way from playing, but you're playing the team that led the league in sacks last year in the opener. Does that excite you that you're going to know what you got pretty quickly, or you wish you had a little bit of time there?
You know, the focus is so small right now for us. We have so many things that we need to get better at that we focus on. The schedule sort of comes out, and it's a big deal kind of outside in the outside world. And it's not like we didn't know we were going to play these teams. It's just a matter of when you're playing them. Opening in Denver, certainly a challenge. That's a hell of an environment. I was a part of that for a long time. And they got a good football team. So it's a good test out the gate for us. That's a really good defense. Very well coordinated. A lot of good talent. So, yeah, it's a great challenge for us out the gate. And, again, we don't get too far down the road thinking about it, but you know, it's certainly going to be a fun opening environment.
For that game, would Cam going into that need to beat out the other three quarterbacks that are on the roster? Or are you kind of in a spot where Cam needs to have maybe just enough of a grip on what's going on in your system to have confidence in him to draw that first start?
Yeah, I think there's so much work to be done between now and then, you know, particularly for him. So many things that you have to learn as a young quarterback. So I don't get too far down that road personally with him. We're focused on the next day, really, at this point. I'm trying to get him up to speed as fast as possible and get him ready so he can go compete and go compete for a job. And that's ultimately where it all lands right now. So not going to make too many proclamations about that. About September here in May. So feel good about where we're at and the work he's put in, and we'll get there when we get there.
I saw some of the pictures of J.C. Latham. Looks a lot different. What are your thoughts on the body change and everything that he's
He really committed himself to getting his weight at the range that he needed to get it to. You know, he probably admittedly was heavy at the end of last season as the second half of the year wore on. He learned a lot of lessons himself, you know, about what it takes to play tackle in this league, the caliber of players you face every week, and there's no letdown. And I think every rookie goes through that phase where they realize, man, whatever I did before, I got to do it better if I want to have a chance to be the player I think I'm capable of being. And JC's capable of being an excellent football player, and he really dedicated himself to changing his body. Like a lot of first-year players going into their second year, find ways to do. He looks great. He's in great shape. He's moving really well. I'm excited about where he's at. But all the credit goes to him and just understanding what he realized it was going to take to be the player that he wants to be, and he dedicated himself to it.
His decision, it wasn't like the result of like the exit meetings last year. It was his decision.
Oh, sure, we had okay. we you know we had conversations about it, you know. Obviously, we track these guys' weight every week, and we're aware of where that's at. And one of the things that he was challenged to do was to get himself in a playing weight that's more suitable to play for 17 games at the level that he needs to play at. So, but he dedicated himself to doing it, and he did it. And right now, he's in a really good place, so excited about that.
How much has he done while he's been here? And just is the plan to handle him differently this offseason than kind of load management stuff?
Yeah, I think there's a healthy balance there. You know, he's, you know, coming back injury wise, so the rehab process is ongoing. He's in a good spot. Excited about where he's at, but there's definitely a part of like to practice more. You know, I think he's on the same page too. Where, you know, you got to balance those things. There's a management part for a lot of players, but there's also a, you know, you got to practice and get better at your craft and continue to improve. So we'll balance that. I feel good about where that process is for us and for him. I think he's well on the same page as well.
Jefferson Stance.
I'll come back, Paul. Go ahead, John.
Van Jefferson, I guess, had the one very good year, I guess, back in 2021. And other years, not quite as productive. When you look back at what he's done, what did he do particularly well perhaps that year? Mm-hmm. And do you feel like you can bring that back out?
Yeah, I think Van's been a productive player. He's had some years, like I said, that have been more productive than others. Some of that's just how the team was built around him. You know, I think Puka came in at one point, and then you got Cooper, who became the point for that operation. But he's been a really solid player for every team he's played on, and he's been great so far. He's got some experience in the system and doing some of the things that we do, which is good. He's a pro's pro, obviously coach's son, so knows how to operate. Excited about what he can bring to us. I think he adds depth and competition to the room, which, you know, you can't ever have enough of that. But I'm excited to see how he comes out of it. I think he's determined to prove that he wants to show that he's more of what that productive season was than maybe what the last two or three have been. So you got a motivated player and a serious veteran player that I think is going to help us.
He's recently been among the worst in yards per route run. Mm-hmm. Is that picking up on what you're saying about the system or
Yeah, I think those are things for every player that, you know, some fits are better than others, you know, and some of those, you know, they go play places and they end up in a system where maybe it doesn't suit their strengths as well, and they go somewhere else and end up having some production. That's exciting to see. So can't speak to the system necessarily that he was in or played in or the role that he played before, but I just know that he's got a chance to help us, and we're excited to have him.
Rehab.
Yeah.
Are you talking knee? Are you talking quad? Are you talking both? And where is he in terms of full participation?
I mean, it's both. I mean, the knee is something that you manage all the time. And then, you know, for the quad injury has taken some time to rehab from. So those things are still kind of ongoing, you know, simultaneously. It's all part of the process for him. But he's in a great place. I'm excited about where he's at. He's progressing as expected.
Your camp about 20% of the time you expect your offense to change the play at the line of scrimmage. Do you have a chance? Do you have any expectation of what that was last year during the season? And is that the same expectation you have this year?
Say that first part one more time.
You said last year in camp about 20% of the time you expect the quarterback to change the play at the line. Is that what happened last year? Do you have any?
Yeah. I would say, you know, hard to put it out, and I don't know if I have a number for you, but a lot of our offense is kind of built in terms of play calls. You know, we'll call two plays most of the time in the huddle. We have a lot of checks that occur, especially on third downs with the protections. So play, protection, it all kind of fits in the same mold. You know, didn't do probably as much at the line of scrimmage as I would have wanted to for a lot of different reasons. It's something I'd like to do more of. We still invest in it. We still work on it. And those are things that you got to earn offensively. You know, it's a way that's enjoyable to play football. I think when you're good at it, it can be a weapon for you. But there's 11 pieces that got to fit into that too, you know, and how that fits in with the rest of it. So things we're working on, things I like a lot. I've been a part of no huddle systems a lot in my time. I've been a part of kind of quarterback at the line of scrimmage driven. But you got to earn that, you know, you got to be able to operate that the right way. And then everybody else has to be able to operate it too. So it's a totality thing offensively, but it's certainly something that we're going to keep diving into and keep trying to push the envelope on and hopefully do more of.
With Pollard today, as you reflected on his first year here, anything you want to change with him as far as workload and as far as how many carries he has? Does that pretty much depend on his health or other factors?
Yeah, I think you know, he's battling the second half of the year quite a bit, but I think in a perfect world, it's a healthier division of labor. I think he ended up carrying the ball a lot. He was our most productive running back, and then Tajay had some injuries early too. So he ended up playing a lot early. And then Tajay sort of came on as the year went on further. So I like really both of those players a lot. I think we can do a better job of managing that load so they both play a little more evenly and allows us to maybe have a spot for a third back between Julius and Kalel, some heavier style back and runner. So hopefully that division of labor gets a little more evenly distributed so he doesn't have to take the brunt of it and we can get 17 games out of all those guys at their best.
To what degree can you see leadership emerge in what you're doing now, and to what degree do you have to wait until more serious long term?
That's a good question. It's something that we've really put a lot of work into. What I mean by that is it's an emphasis for us as well, just like we emphasize trying to eliminate those negative plays and our execution. There is a leadership emphasis, and part of the reason I did what I did with our dividing our team up into teams is now they're all accountable to each other on that team. There's a leadership that starts to grow because now each team has a captain and an alternate, and now you've got more people in leadership spots. One of the things I think is unique about the process is it allows those guys to start to find their own voices. And it's not about, an offense versus defense. It's much more of a holistic team approach to it. We encourage these guys to spend a lot more time together, both in the building and out of it. It's been a focus for us. And I think you can develop leadership. I don't think leaders are necessarily just walk into a room ready to lead. I think there's skills you have to learn. You have to have the communication as a leader. You have to know your teammates. We spend a lot more time trying to get to know each other on a level that I think is going to be beneficial to fostering more leadership for more people. One of the things I tell our team all the time that I think is really important is a lot of times you ask people, how do you lead? And most people say, I lead by example. And my retort to that is there's really no such thing in pro sports. Leading by example is the expectation. That's your job, to be on time, to do what you're supposed to do, to work hard, to study. That's part of that's in your contract, and so my challenge to our team this year was to do more of the things that require bringing people with you, making other people better. And so leadership is something that we talk a lot about. It's a focal point of our offseason. And the idea is that you develop a team full of leaders, and everyone has different styles. But it's something that I think the more people you have that are comfortable in those roles and understand that it's more about, how you interact with people and how you make people go around you better, that part of it, I think, is something I'm excited about. So
And how do you keep it going that way when you turn to offense defense, man?
The
four teams.
There's eight teams.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, eight of them.
And do you keep that going when you turn into offense defense?
Yeah, it's all there. They're still also, the cool part about it is, you can earn points a lot of different ways. For example, let's say defensively, Amani Hooker has an interception. That's a 3-point swing for his team. But on his team is also the quarterback. And the quarterback threw the interception, so that's a minus 3-point swing. So really, he's a net zero for his team for that particular play. But what it does is you see more communication, more conversation, more accountability to other folks around the team, and they get to know each other on a different level than maybe just offense and defense. That's one of the things I think we need to do a better job of is just the whole team interacting more. Not just by position or by side of the ball. And I think so far it's been a lot of fun. I think the guys have enjoyed it. And I think it's also grown those leadership qualities, those accountability to each other, as opposed to, just trying to be the best offense or the best defense that day. Thank you.
There you go. That is head coach Brian Callahan of the Titans. Some interesting stuff there. He did have some comments that I definitely want to react to and talk about. We will do that in the second hour here on Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.